Hey guys, we're here for a special episode of Catch It, Cook It, and Eat It. this has already been a tough episode to pull off because we are actually going live to Barrow, Alaska, where a spiritual whale hunt is taking place. We're about 3 weeks off, and the guys are preparing for the hunt. And my friend Duke Riley, who is actually a tattoo artist in the neighborhood in Greenpoint, was called in by the, I guess it's their local tribe to do some nautical themed tattoos on the guys as they prepare for going out to sea. So right now, what they're waiting for, essentially. This is the northernmost point in Alaska, and all the ice caps are, well, frozen ice is basically making it impossible now for the whales to come close to the town. When there's a pass, which means the ice opens up, the whales are able to swim in fairly close to shore. And these guys are going to go out in small boats. I mean, these are like stretched canvas hide boats, and they go in a, you know, just like the old days with harpoons and about 13 men and a captain, and they are chasing down what is called the bow whale, which is it's a big whale to be chasing with such a small boat. And it's an interesting story because sort of back in the 70s, when whaling was at its all-time most unpopular, there was an organization formed by the United States that put a ban on all whaling, a moratorium on both commercial and tribe whaling. And the guys, this community, were not only furious, but their whole way of life was changed because these whales bring the food to the community that is essential for their survival. So a bunch of organizations came through and they said, well, we're gonna provide meat, we're gonna provide mutton, we're gonna provide grain, and we're gonna, you know, all these things to sort of alleviate the, you know, the pain of the local people. And of course it didn't work. These guys really depend on this meat and the nutrients and vitamins that come from the whale. So there were a number of years when everything was in turmoil, and the local tribesmen basically rebelled against the government, and they were able to reinstall sort of a new way of thinking in terms of, you know, I guess you would call it spiritual whaling. It's sort of, I guess, sustainable whaling. So what happened is they started their own organization, the local tribe there. And it was groundbreaking in the sense that now the Eskimos have their own group. And it's sort of like they can whale, I believe it's up to 22 whales, and that is more than enough for their community. And if they are able to catch the allotted amount, they share it with the next community over. And it's brought whaling back to this part of the world, and it's not only exciting for the people to be back partaking in their heritage, but it also sort of it ensures longevity to a way of life. Now, that was until Governor Palin came along and basically started this whole movement towards offshore drilling. Offshore drilling would, obviously, there's hundreds of millions of gallons of untapped oil, and both the Bush administration Palin's people, and now, unfortunately, Obama's people are all starting to think that maybe this offshore drilling out of necessity is a good idea. Well, it may be a good idea for the short term and our automobiles, but it is not a good idea in terms of the Inukiak people and the whales, the bow whale. The reason being, if there's an oil spill because of the ice that floats in that ocean, it is absolutely, absolutely impossible to contain an oil spill. There's no way with that many chunks of ice floating around that if oil starts to leak out, that you can't contain it, because basically these pieces of ice are so big, there's no way to put a ring around the leaking oil. So, you know, Alaska is once again sort of at the forefront of debate, and there are politicians, local politicians, who are very much in support of drilling and the jobs and prosperity that they believe it will bring to the area. And then there's strong opposition, which are, you know, local leaders who say this is going to change our entire way of life, and all it takes is one oil spill and you will have completely eradicated our tribe. So, and we are in a sort of fortunate position to perhaps be able to get one of the captains on the phone today, but it's going to be tough, because already this morning I kind of offended him. I told him it was a catch it, cook it, and eat it show, and before I knew it, I was asking him about oil and oil spills, and he said as politely as he could that he was not here to talk about politics, but was here to talk about whale hunting. So getting him on the phone is going to be a tough one. Meanwhile, Duke is down there, up there, I should say, very far up there. And he is literally setting up shop because he was invited by these people to put his, you know, nautical tattoos on them before they go out to sea. So you have a whole community that's sort of lying in wait, and they're just waiting until the ice clears enough that the whales can come through and they have a clear pass. And at that moment, all the boats will be dispatched. The entire town comes down. And there's a real process to it, where, you know, aunts, uncles, cousins, grandparents all have a part in essentially in cutting the whale. And these whales are, you know, 32, 30, 40 feet huge. And they have to pull them in out of the water. And then very quickly, they basically have to cut the meat into, you know, pieces that are sizable, and can be dealt with individually by the families. So it's sort of everybody's given their share right there down on the beach. And there's festivals, there's singing, there's dancing. They have the traditional sort of like a, you've seen it before, it's almost like a rug that they stretch out. It's actually a hide. I believe it's from the whale skin, and they pull it. And then, you know, these guys jump 20 feet into the air, and especially the little kids go flying. So it's a huge festival, and literally this town is just waiting for the word. And when I spoke to the captain this morning, he was at the I think it was the Natural Resources Center, and he's like I'm just waiting for the call. I have 13 men who will be working under me, and we are essentially ready to go. All we need is a word that the ice has cleared, and at which point these whales will come close enough that we can dispatch our small boats. I will say that it's a traditional form of hunting. It's slightly gruesome, only in the sense that they use a harpoon. The harpooner goes right to the back of the head of the whale, and there's a little detonation device that actually shoots a small projectile into the whale after the harpoon has made impact, and that actually detonates inside the whale. which sounds horrible, but what this new committee has done is basically set up more humane ways of killing the whale, even though they're still hunting in a traditional way. So obviously there were no explosives involved back in the day when they were doing this thousands of years ago, but now they're still using these modern style harpoons that are handheld and thrown with force and accuracy, and it requires getting very, very close to the whale, and it's dangerous. I talked to this guy, Harry Bauer, who is the captain, and he said, you know, the whales will fight, and occasionally a whale will slap its tail or come back at the boat, in which case your crew is in huge, huge jeopardy, and you're out far, 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 and probably not with a whole ton of, you know, safety gear either. So we are here in our little New York studio, very far removed from one of the last traditional whale hunts that goes on, I believe, in the United States, but in parts of the world. And we're literally just waiting to see if we can make this phone call and either get Harry on the phone or Duke. And Duke, we talked to briefly, but he's, you know, in the midst of setting up his shop, and he has a lot of guys coming over who are going to be getting tattooed in a minute, so he's going to be hard to reach, and I'm going to try my darndest not to offend Harry with my politically slanted questions and see if I can get the real dirt on, you know, just really what goes into the hunting process. I told him, I said, I'm calling from my radio show, Catch It, Cook It, and Eat It. And he said, well, why are we talking about political issues? I thought we were talking about whales and hunting. And I was like, right. I'm like, we were. What the hell? How did I do that? I got off the topic. Of course, I have to go and ask the slanted question. But obviously, it is a tough one because without a doubt, drilling in the area would bring some monetary value to the area that it didn't have before. On the other hand, it would dramatically threaten a way of life and a wonderful group of people. These are some of the most outgoing, fun, funny, and courageous people. And especially during this time of year, one of the guys I was talking to says it's really like, you know, getting set up for the Super Bowl. He said there are huge festivals. There's even football games that you'll see where these guys, the Whalers, they're called, play in the snow. It is the only Arctic football team that exists. These guys play on a frozen tundra. It's unbelievable. And everybody in the town is, you know, it's sort of got the, it's almost like the Iditarod or something like that. It's got the same energy and excitement. And so everyone in the town is just waiting for that first whale to be brought to shore. So at this moment, we're going to take a quick break. And what we're going to do is I'm going to try and get Harry on the phone and see if he can give us a little bit of the lowdown. If it's not possible, we will just call this the first segment of this show and see if we can get them on another day. But just because of the preparations, it's really hard to get these guys. So let's take a quick break and we'll come back with Harry, hopefully.
What about the whales? Did the whales get a song? Cause the hunters got a school and a museum all along, and the killers got the oil melted fat off the bones. So what about the whales? Can the whales get a poem? They got monuments to document slavery's abolishment. Lewis Temple revolutionized the opposite. It's hard not to get caught up in the politics. Otis Cobb scrimshaw on baleen and polished it. Flossin celebrated the wealth it created at the expense of the whale population devastated. It's a dog eat dog world. Make money, pimp girls, survival of the fittest. Yes, the globe gon' twirl. Seasick, I hurl. Forced to spit these pearls. Rebirth, new beat.
We're back. Catch it, cook it, eat.
Good afternoon, Meredith tonight.
Yeah, hi. I'm just wondering, is Harry available?
Harry?
Oh, actually, well, let me see. Is Kathy available first?
No, she's actually in a meeting right now.
Oh, she is. Okay. Is there anybody that maybe down in the shop that could talk to us about the whale hunt?
Well, I could transfer to Diana Martin.
Oh, great. That'd be great.
Okay. Hello?
Hi, Diana. This is Ben Sargent calling. I have a radio show called Catch It, Cook It, and Eat It. And I understand you're preparing for this whale hunt, and I was just wondering if you could answer some whaling questions for me. Would that be possible?
did somebody refer you to me?
Yeah, they did, but I guess none of the guys were in the shop, so that's why I'm here talking to you.
Oh, okay.
I'm just wondering, do you have family who will partake in the event?
Yes, we are. I'm from the whaling family.
Mm-hmm. And when do you think you'll be going out? When?
I'm assuming April.
April.
Because of the ice condition.
Mm-hmm. So the ice is frozen over and the whales can't pass? Is that the problem right now?
It's the thinning of the freeze-up.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Out on the ice.
Uh-huh.
And it's open water right now. We do have ice on the shore.
Mm-hmm.
Probably half a mile to a mile. It depends on where the individuals will go out to set their camp.
Okay. And what's the name of your family or your boat? What do you guys go by?
George Adams Sr.
Okay. And what part do you play in it? Are you involved?
I am always involved with financial needs.
Mm-hmm.
And cooking, preparing their meals.
Great.
At home, you know, and they'll bring them down.
Okay. Can you tell me about... Yeah, I know that you have to prepare the meat really quickly after the whale is caught. What goes into the preparation? With the meat, what are the ways of cooking it? I guess is what I'm asking.
We only boil the meat.
Okay.
In water.
Mm-hmm.
When we harvest the whale.
Just to preserve it. Is that right?
When we're preparing to feast the community after harvesting a whale.
Mm-hmm.
We cut the outer layer skin that is called muktuk.
Right. And
okay. Go ahead.
Sorry. Will that last you through the year?
I still have some in my freezer, actually.
Okay.
And yes, it does last through the year because it's given out different times to, you know, giving anybody. Well, we have the feast. And we give it out on Nalukatak, the Blanketoss summer event.
Right,
when we celebrate. And then Thanksgiving.
Okay. Have you done the Blanketoss? Have you ever gone up in the air?
Yes, when I was in my young teens until I had a knee problem.
Oh, yeah. Probably not very good for knee injuries, right? The Blanketoss.
No, since I used to, and... During my high school year, I had a knee damage, and ever since then, I wasn't able to get up again.
Okay. Oh, sorry to hear that. How are the Whalers doing, by the way, your football team?
My son went through the first... He was one of the first ones that went through from... I think there are... Getting better after the first ones had graduated.
Okay.
The ones that were trained through the professionals.
Mm-hmm.
But they still do the training. They have a summer camp.
Okay.
Before the school starts.
Uh-huh.
They were doing good. And they got kind of caught up pretty quick. They're fast learners up here.
And will some of the will some of those guys partake in the whaling as well?
Yes, they do.
Okay. And what are, if you can tell me, what are the positions on the boat? I know there's obviously the harpoonist who's up in the bow, right? In the front.
Yes.
What are the other guys' roles?
There is always, side by the harpooner is always the person throwing the float.
Mm.
So nobody get tangled up,
okay.
You know.
Okay.
They have the harpooner that goes with a float,
mm-hmm.
a person to toss it over the water. And then they got to be quick to have a shoulder gun if that harpoon doesn't help. I mean, to help kill the whale, there's a shoulder gun.
Because otherwise you're going for a scary ride, right?
Yes, I've actually been in a boat chasing a whale myself.
Is it terrifying?
No, if you know, we're used to dealing with going out camping with the boats, mm-hmm. and I wasn't afraid then to be out on the ice too, because all the guys were sleeping and there was only three others, and it's always a help to get somebody oaring the boat.
Right. And as far as I know, there's whales are not the only concern. There's also polar bears you have to watch out for when you go out on the sleds, right?
Oh, all the time. Mm-hmm. When even just leaving the town, mm-hmm. yes, we have to start looking out for the polar bears.
Right.
And
'cause they'll get you if your sled breaks down, your snowmobile?
Yes, sometimes they'll stop to let the polar bear pass, or, you know, or scaring it away.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
I've run into that situation before in my teens, when we harvest the whale.
Yeah, because they come
to stop.
Is the smell
they're right on the trail.
Is the smell of blood draw them in at all, or is the handling of the whale mostly handled along the beach or in town? I'm not sure. Where is that all done?
Fall, spring whale hunt, mm-hmm. we're always on the ice, and they have a real keen nose. They can smell
mm-hmm.
5 miles or so.
Wow. Huh. And so
yeah.
Right around this time of year, would you say that, I mean, are people getting prepared right now with their gear and stuff?
The men's are,
uh-huh.
and they should be cleaning the ice cellars probably next month after the skin boats are sewn.
So you have to skin the boats with whale hide, or what do you use for the
bearded seat hide.
Okay.
The bearded seals.
Oh, the seals.
The bearded seals are a little bigger than the spotted ring seals.
Mm-hmm.
The skin is thicker.
Mm-hmm. So that stretches over the boat. That's like your canvas, basically, right?
Yeah, there's always, they use about 5 to 7 skins, depending how big their boat skin frame is.
Okay. Now, how much does the IWC, are they at all involved in you know, how many whales you guys are allowed to take per year?
Or in Alaska, mm-hmm. That's including the Savunka Little Daimik, there's 57 quota.
57?
As far as I know, and they divvy it up to their community numbers, I think.
Okay. So how many...
My guess.
How many does Barrow get? Your town?
22.
22 whales. And do they usually get that many, or is it fewer?
Yes.
Wow.
We do by seasonal.
Mm-hmm.
If they didn't finish the quota spring hunt,
mm-hmm.
the leftover will be carried over fall season.
Oh, it's carried over. I see. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
And we're limited with whatever we have left to
right.
hunt with.
So were you, I would imagine you were, I don't know how old you were at the time, but when the moratorium was instilled, did that really, was that a huge problem in terms of how, you know, how your people were eating and what they were eating?
When we were growing up?
Yeah, when they put the ban on whaling altogether.
Oh, it really affected us, because that's one of our main sources of food up here.
Mm-hmm.
It was, because we all love eating the quail.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, we felt like they took our food away.
Right. What could you eat during that time? What were you able to eat?
The ducks, the seal, mm-hmm. caribou.
Mm-hmm.
Is our main, you know, diet foods besides the whale.
Right. But then you were missing a lot of nutrients, I would imagine. Niacin and
yeah.
Right. And now if you were to take a piece of meat out of your freezer and I were to come over to your house, how would you prepare it?
If it was from the fall time, we'd either eat it frozen,
mm-hmm.
or we could cut up, you know, 1 inch by however long, we could fry it up.
Fry it, okay.
Yeah.
With, like, hot oil or butter? Do you use butter?
Yeah, battered with flour, salt, and seasoning, pepper.
Uh-huh. And is it very fatty? What's the taste like?
It is kind of oily,
mm-hmm.
like, but it's kind of like saturated fat. We don't have fat in the meats, because mm-hmm. we mostly take off the blubber.
I see.
To prepare.
And what do you use the blubber for? What do you use the oil and those sorts of things for?
Like a cormain dip, making a dip,
when
we eat frozen caribou meat.
Yeah. If
we get a little bite to go along with the frozen fish or frozen meat, when we eat frozen foods, we still use the fat.
I see.
Besides making it like a seal oil.
Okay. I was thinking I'd love to serve whale dip to my friends in New York City and see how they responded.
There's two kinds. We make the seal oil.
Uh-huh.
We render it.
Okay.
There's a seal oil dip or the whale oil, you know, rendered dip. It's almost like Italian dressing.
Okay.
Without all those seasonings.
Hmm. Oh, it sounds good.
The texture of it.
Can you put it on salad? I guess it's hard. You guys don't get a lot of salad in the wintertime. It's probably very expensive, right?
We do have fresh produce. We use we can make a salad, muktuk salad.
Muktuk salad, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with the vegetables, and we'll cut in a little bite size.
Putting
the muktuk in and using the seal oil or the whale oil as a dressing.
Am I correct in when you store the whale meat, because you're given a lot at a time when a whale's harvested, do you keep it in your basement in deep freezers, like sort of down in the ground? Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And every household has one of those?
No. Hmm. Every hunter that hunts a lot,
mm-hmm.
Whaling family members, we still carry our old cellars and keeping it maintained.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's got to kept maintained to store, you know, the whale.
Sure.
The caribou.
Okay. Ducks. Oh, so all the meat goes down there. Interesting.
Besides our big other Western-style freezer.
Right. Right. And where you're living, what do most people feel about, you know, the drilling and, you know, offshore drilling and oil and... because obviously you're in the whaling community, so I'm guessing that you're opposed to it. But I would also think that would bring money, perhaps, to your community. What's your stance on offshore drilling?
I'm fearing that the whales won't come through our community,
mm-hmm.
and I have a feeling that there's some chemicals that are going to be deposited,
mm-hmm.
and that will affect the whales. And it's like myself, I don't know. I wouldn't want to eat the whale because of those deposits.
Right.
And the whales eat those planktons, and I'm assuming that there won't be anything for them to eat or come through anymore.
Sure. And I know
and
there were some devastating cases where there was all kinds of poisonings that took place in Alaska, right, due to the seafood being contaminated. I guess because of industry and stuff that had been built up in those areas. Are you nervous for your family members that go out and do this? I know it's
Of course.
Is that's always a concern?
I would be very concerned, and even my brother would be too. I have three brothers that has their own whaling crew members,
mm-hmm.
and I kind of help with all of them when they harvest the whale.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure they wouldn't want to go out whaling because, you know, you're feeding the community.
Sure.
And you don't want to be at fault if it was contaminated to poison any individuals in the community.
Right. You'd feel like you had some part in it if that happened. Yeah, that makes sense. And so I guess you're not big Sarah Palin fans then, at least in your family.
Yep.
That's good. Neither are we down here in New York.
Oh, you're all the way down in New York.
Yeah, we don't like her. We don't like her either. But what about the Obama administration? Because I know they're not opposed to offshore drilling either. More so
he had approved it to let them go ahead and drill. I'm opposed to it.
Yeah.
And my husband works with he's a resource director for the federal liaisons.
Mm-hmm.
He works directly with the EPA.
Okay.
And he knows what they'll be doing.
Right.
And he is so very opposed to what will be happening if they eventually drill. And
is it partially up to your mayor or your town officials whether they do it off your shores, or is it much more Washington that decides?
I feel that we have no controls unless our community fights for it, which some are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right now, I'm kind of iffy about, you know, they start drilling, and I'm not happy with it.
Right, right. If you had sons and daughters who wanted to go off and work in the industry, would you allow it? Or because I mean, they're saying that it would bring jobs to your community, obviously. Do you think that's not even the case? Do you think that's not true?
it can be the case. I mean, it depends on the individuals. You know, we don't have a control over for them to, I don't know. I don't think I would want to work for the company myself.
Right.
But we can't control who those wants to go work for them.
Sure. And now who in your family is going to actually partake in the kill versus the people who are doing more of the work when the whale is brought in? Who's actually on the boat out of your family?
There is immediate family and relatives, cousins.
Okay. Uh-huh. Is it exciting? Just not just because of the food, but because of sort of the festivities and the danger, the excitement. Is some of that still built into it?
Yes, of course, the men's always be careful in when not to go.
Right.
Or, you know.
Rough seas.
I am helping preparing, making sinew threads for the women's to sew.
Mm.
And I help the community at times, or the whaling captains, other whaling captains. There's a couple of women that do skin boat sewing, and we're trying to show our, you know, relatives, family members to learn how to sew the skin boat.
Oh, okay. Is that generally a female's role?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And then is there a decorative part to that? Do you paint the boats or no?
No.
No, they're just straight skin.
Yeah, scrape the skin and waterproof the threads with the seal oil.
Sure.
Because that's the only one that will waterproof. It's all natural.
Wow. And how do you prevent stepping through the bottom of the floor of the boat?
they have the frames set up where they'll put a little, almost like a plywood sometimes in some parts.
Mm-hmm.
But the men know, you know, not to step into it.
Certain areas, right.
But
I would imagine when you're chasing a whale and you've got one harpoon in the whale and another one that you're trying to shoot, things happen.
we have that tradition of doing the skin boats up here in the spring hunt.
Mm-hmm.
And they also meant the crew will also carry a aluminum boat with an even root after it's harpooned.
To pull the whale back in, or what's that for?
Yeah, to chase it, to keep up with it, so we don't lose the whale.
Right.
The other crew members will also.
Because it's injured at that point, right? So you have how long does it take from the time that the harpoon's thrown into it to the time that it finally gives up?
It can take half an hour to hours.
Wow.
To 15 minutes. It depends on where the harpoon is struck to the whale. It depends. And they actually always help it using a shoulder gun to kill it.
Right. And is it passed down the tradition I would imagine that the person who's throwing the harpoon has to be very, very experienced. Are there young guys who are in that position, or is it older, more experienced guys?
They do, you know, pass it on to the family member. As the person's getting older, then they would train that, you know, whoever in the family member could throw the harpoon, and they have to be strong.
Very strong, to yeah.
Throw it into the whale.
Right, right. I would think so.
Yeah.
Not anyone who can throw a harpoon into a whale.
No, they got to be trained first.
And do you lose guys every year? I mean, is it that dangerous? Is it common to I hate to ask the hard question, but does that happen? That people go overboard?
Once in a while.
Yeah.
When they're not being careful to... I mean, I haven't seen any whale throwing up the boat in a while. Mm-hmm. I don't... Because they know when the whale is an angry whale, then mm-hmm. they'll leave it alone.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah.
So
they can tell
wow.
the attitude sometimes. So they'll just leave the whale alone and let it go.
Huh. So an aggressive whale.
And they
whale,
pass on the message to the other whaling captain.
Not to go for that.
Yeah.
Huh, I didn't know that. That's amazing. And they can just tell that it's in a bad mood, basically.
Yeah, if yeah. the first person get caught up with that whale, then they have a walkie-talkie, VHF.
Mm-hmm.
They can pass a message on to another crew member, whichever path that whale is going to leave that whale alone, and they work pretty well together. The whaling captains work well together with the other crew members.
That's incredible. And how many boats are going after one whale, generally?
Whoever's whaling boat is near to that whale, they'll... Because they're kind of have their own area, and when the whale is coming to whoever camp, they'll alert that whaling captain.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
And they don't all just go like crazy chasing
right.
the whale.
Right.
So they work pretty well together out there on the ice.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Spring hunt.
Sure. And can you feel the excitement, tension? I mean, I guess you guys do this frequently, but it seems sort of like everybody's getting ready. Is there that attitude in town that, you know, kind of things are, people are starting to get ready for this?
Yep, even the women's, because we get to help prepare the skin boats, a new skin. We need a recovering on the boat.
Mm-hmm.
The boats actually, the cover of the skin actually lasts 2 to 3 years.
Wow.
Depends on how well the skin is taken care of.
Right.
It can go up to 5 to 7 years the most.
Okay. So how do you find time between your day job and sewing skins? It's a big responsibility.
We break away from work to work on the boat.
Oh, wow. You get some time off to work on the boat, huh?
Yes, okay. And our supervisors are pretty good about letting the individuals, you know.
Do it.
And they understand, too. So they'll excuse us from work.
Right, because it's for the community. They're going to end up, you know, benefiting from this, too, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. I'm gonna have to go, but I can't thank you enough for sort of walking me through this. It's fascinating, and I wish you the best of luck on the hunt. You were very, very informative, and I feel like I lucked out in getting to talk to you.
Okay, you're welcome.
All right. Well, have a great day.
All right, you too.
Okay, best of luck. Bye-bye. You heard it here. That was Catch It, Cook It, and Eat It in Barrow, Alaska for the whale hunt.